The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, March 30th through Sunday, April the 5th. The commentary for April was written by Katie Nakamura, an Episcopal priest in the Diocese of Alabama, and she served in a variety of church contexts, most recently as the presiding bishop staff officer for church planting. She can often be found with her running group playing the flute and singing or spending time with her husband and their two daughters. The commentary for Monday, March 30th begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 3. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Now the commentary for this Monday, the first day in Holy Week, 2026. Each day of Holy Week has its own prayer. The collect for Monday found in the Book of Common Prayer, page 220, can be a particular challenge. We ask God to grant that in the way of the cross we might find a way of life and peace, that balance of joy and suffering, glory and crucifixion is at the heart of Holy Week. We find a certain tension this week. There is majesty and sorrow in Holy Week, as there is at the heart of life. The stories we tell ask us to encounter the suffering of the whole world, particularly the marginalized and those who find no justice. The glory of God comes there, exactly there, where people suffer. Holy Week is not for the faint of heart. This week, as we walk with Jesus, we are invited to examine our motivations and challenged to love and serve one another. We may wonder whether we have the strength to claim our place in the movement, especially when doing so may be so dangerous. I'll begin with the full gospel from John chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it, so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. And the moving forward question for this Monday, the first day of Holy Week, will we, like Mary, show our love with abandon, Or will we grumble like the other disciples? The commentary for Tuesday, March 31st, begins with a passage from John 12, verse 32. "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." One of the privileges of the priesthood is to stand behind the altar with your arms raised and to speak of Jesus, who stretched his arms wide on the cross. It is an honor to stand there, week in and week out, and to look at the faces of those who gather. Part of the power of the church is that the group that gathers around Jesus' table may not choose to hang out with one another in any other space. Old and young, rich and poor, of all genders, races, sexual orientations, and abilities, we gather together in the embrace of God. The breath of the invitation can take your breath away. All people, Jesus says, all people. On my best days, I catch a glimpse of what Jesus means. I can carry that invitation from the table into the street. I can work to make room for my unhoused neighbor, my immigrant neighbor, for the neighbor kid who is questioning their gender. I can even believe there is room for me. And now I'm going to read the full gospel from John chapter 12, verses 20 through 36. "Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.' Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? 'Father, save me from this hour?' No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus said to them, "The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of the light." And the moving forward question for this Tuesday in Holy Week: where in your life has God shown you there is room for you? Where are you called to make room for others? The commentary for Wednesday in Holy Week, Wednesday, April 1st, begins with a passage from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us." A ministry mentor once shared a story with me. A woman he knew was struggling to run her first marathon. By mile 10, she was alone at the very back of the race and unsure if and how she would ever finish the 26.2 miles. That was when her great cloud of witnesses showed up. Random onlookers, all strangers, started jogging alongside her, cheering her on. Some accompanied her for several miles. Others maxed out at a couple of hundred yards. After several more hours, the woman finished her first marathon. Realizing that while it hadn't worked the way she had planned, she had never run alone. My mentor said that, for him, this had become a metaphor for the life of faith. Very few people accompany us for the entire ride. Others jog alongside for a few years, a week, or even just one day. He gives thanks for them all. And now I'm going to read the gospel for today, which is from John chapter 13, verses 21 through 32. After saying this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, "Very truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he was speaking. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So while reclining next to Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After he received the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "Do quickly what you are going to do." Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the common purse, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the festival," or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once." And the moving forward question for Wednesday in Holy Week is, who is accompanying you on the journey? And who are you accompanying? Now let's turn to the commentary for Maundy Thursday, Thursday, April 2nd. It begins with a passage from the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, chapter 12, verse 12a. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt." Who pays the cost of sin? Who reckons with the consequences? I recently visited the Legacy Museum in Montgomery, Alabama, which traces the history of slavery in America from the transatlantic slave trade through mass incarceration. Chattel slavery was brutal, dehumanizing, and unworthy of a nation that purported to be Christian. Ending that form of slavery cost over 500,000 American lives. The deaths of the firstborn of Egypt have always bothered me. What kind of God sends an angel to kill people, whether they're guilty or not? But maybe the Bible wants us to see how seriously God takes the sins of slavery, injustice, and oppression. God starts with a plague of frogs, but as Pharaoh grows more obstinate, the stakes increase. The paradox of grace is that it is both free and costly. On this night, we remember Jesus who paid the price so that we might be reconciled to God. Now I'm going to read this full passage from Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year-old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it, your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance. And the moving forward question for this Maundy Thursday of Holy Week, how do you respond to the phrase that grace is free and costly? What does that mean to you? Now the commentary for Good Friday, April 3rd, begins with a passage from Psalm 22, verse 1 and 2. My God, why have you forsaken me? And are so far from my cry and from the words of my distress. O my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not answer. By night as well, but I find no rest. In my years doing street ministry in Birmingham, Alabama, I conducted many funerals for unhoused friends. Some died of natural causes, like cancer, that had gone too long untreated. Many others were so-called deaths of despair, primarily drug overdoses and related accidents. Deaths of despair aren't limited to people in poverty. People of all races and classes experience isolation, terror, and suffering. And I'll be honest, I don't know how to make peace with these deaths. We can do what we can to alleviate the pain and suffering of our fellow humans, yet it can seem like this is never quite enough. What I do know is that in his last moments of life, Jesus cried out the words of Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Through our creation and God's love and our shared humanity with Jesus, my friends, suffering is the suffering of Christ. And as God makes the world new, I know it will be redeemed. Now the Gospel for Good Friday, April 3rd. It begins with John chapter 18, verse 1. After Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas brought a detachment of soldiers together with police from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to happen to him, came forward and asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus replied, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they stepped back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you are looking for me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "I did not lose a single one of those whom you gave to me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into its sheath. Am I not to drink the cup that my Father has given me?" So the soldiers, their officer, and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him. First they took him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was better to have one person die for the people. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter was standing outside at the gate, so the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out, spoke to the woman who guarded the gate, and brought Peter in. The woman said to Peter, "You are not also one of the man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the slaves and the police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing around it and warming themselves. Peter also was standing with them and warming himself. Then the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Jesus answered, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said this, one of the police standing nearby struck Jesus on the face, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They asked him, "You are not also one of the disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Again Peter denied it, and at that moment the cock crowed. Later that day they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What have I written? What I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, for us to see who will get it." This was to fulfill what the scripture had said, "They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots." The moving forward question for this Good Friday: how do you share the suffering of others, and what actions can you take to bear another's burdens? Now, as we near the end of the program, let's turn to the commentary for Easter Sunday, Sunday, April 5th. It begins with a passage from Matthew 28, verses 5 and 6. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said." Benjamin Franklin once said, "The only certain thing in life's is death and taxes. But according to God, the only sure and certain thing in life is resurrection." Yes, resurrection implies that death occurs first and is the natural journey of all creation. However, our confidence in following the way of Jesus is that life always follows and overcomes death, that light always overcomes dark, and that love always conquers despair. In my church's street ministry, it can often seem that our friends' lives are lived as one constant, and then good news is followed by bad news. A bike is purchased and then stolen. A 12-step token is earned, and then relapse happens. Sometimes it's the other way around. Trust is broken, and then reconciliation happens. Sickness happens, and then healing. The story of the empty tomb at Easter is a proclamation that the last, and then, is, and will always be, resurrection. This is our hope and certainty. And now from Matthew 28, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For the fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead and indeed is going ahead to Galilee, where you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they said to him, took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." And the moving forward statement for this Sunday, April 5th, 2026, a simple message. And then Jesus lives. Alleluia, alleluia. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me for the program today. I wish you and your family a very happy Easter for this 2026. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.